Open your Bibles, the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. It's a wonderful joy and blessing to be back at the great Church of the Open Door in Westminster, Maryland, with our dear friends, Dr. and Mrs. Belcher, the Belcher family, and the great church family, the Church of the Open Door. I'm always excited and elated to be here. I'll be quick to tell you that this is one of my favorite places to come. And if Dr. Belcher did not invite me, I would still come. I'd just pout out in the parking lot, but I'd still come. And I'm always honored to be here and to preach in his pulpit. And now for a good number of years, I've had the great joy of coming and preaching in this place. I'm looking forward to what the Lord is going to do in these days that are set aside for revival. And let me just say from the starting block, God is in the revival business. And what he's done in the past and what he's done on the pages of the Bible, he's interested in doing in the present. We don't want just another meeting. We don't want just another series of services. But my, how we want genuine, real, authentic revival. I've learned in the nearly 43 years that I've been on the revival road that there's a couple of things that make for a great meeting. One, participation. If we're going to have a great meeting, we must have participation. That means you pray and I pray and you invite people and I invite people and you come and I come. We participate. It takes participation to have a great meeting. The second thing that I learned that it takes to have a great meeting is perspiration. And if I get perspiring while I preach, well, the meeting is on and God's doing great things. So I'm going to do my best to perspirate, and I trust that you'll do your best to participate, and we'll have a meeting that'll make the headlines in history books of heaven. I'd certainly be remiss if I did not take a moment and wish all you mothers a happy Mother's Day. Let's give them a warm hand. What do you say? God bless you, mothers. Happy, happy, happy Mother's Day. And really, I think that, it's not fair. I think mothers ought to just take a whole week and celebrate mothers. I think it's not right that you only get a day. I think we should take a whole week and celebrate mothers. Now, you know that Mother's Day comes before Father's Day, and so for Father's Day, we should take a whole month and celebrate fathers. But my ladies, you deserve a week, and we should celebrate you. I think about that word mom. If you turn it upside down, you have the word wow. And that's what moms are. All they do, seen and unseen. And aren't you glad, I've got to say it, aren't you glad that your mother didn't believe in abortion? Amen. I've got to say it. And so we want to wish every one of you mothers a happy Mother's Day. It was Abraham Lincoln that I think put it best when he said, "All I am or ever hope to be, I owe to my angel mother." And thank God for mothers today. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19. I'll take but one verse of scripture for our text, and it will be verse number 4. Gospel of Luke, chapter number 19, and verse number 4. And I would invite you to stand with me as I read the Word of God. I want to encourage you to be back tonight in the 6 o'clock hour. I do not normally announce what I'm going to preach before I preach it, but I feel strangely impressed to announce that tonight in the 6 o'clock hour, I'll preach on the subject, revival at Dry Bones Baptist Church. You won't want to miss the service tonight. Tonight, 6 o'clock, revival at Dry Bones Baptist Church. How many can take old-fashioned, red-hot, spirit-filled Bible preaching? Would you raise your hand if you can take it? Okay, we'll see you tonight at 6 o'clock, and we'll find out if you can take old-fashioned, red-hot, spirit-filled Bible preaching. Tonight, I'll be telling two stories about the first time, now many, many, many years ago, that I preached in this pulpit, Church of the Open Door, the first time I'll relay two stories that I believe you'll be interested in hearing tonight. Gospel of Luke, chapter 19, and verse 4. And he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. For a few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject this morning, so I can see you're up a tree. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this privilege to stand behind a sacred desk to preach the word of God. If in my heart I want to be a blessing, but the only way that I can be is if you hide me behind the cross and fill me with the Spirit. Place a hedge around this great church by the blood of Christ to keep the devil and his demons from hindering this service. Save the sinner and stir the saint. Heavenly Father, for all that you'll do in our midst and even in our hearts this morning, we will be careful to give you all the praise and honor and glory. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. Lord, I'd request, oh, how I would request that you'd clothe me in my calling. Give us fresh, warm bread from the oven of heaven to feed from this morning. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You may be seated. All around the world, 100% of humanity is in soul trouble. And 99.9% of humanity doesn't sense or see their terrible state. This conundrum only becomes more catastrophic when a man, woman, boy or girl attempts to get to the Savior without going to him according to the Scriptures. Mankind sadly spends his life trying to pull himself up by his own bootstraps, turn over a new leaf, and there making the cut. Well, the whole time he is getting further and further and further from the effectual cross and closer and closer and closer to the chasm of a Christless eternity. So I can see you're up a tree. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 19, Gospel of Luke chapter 19, we find the conversion of Zacchaeus. This chapter could be easily or effortlessly outlined like this: the day of salvation, verses 1 through 10. The day of evaluation, verses 11 through 27. And then the day of visitation, verses 28 through 43. It is well the physician Luke is dealing under the direct inspiration of the Holy Spirit with the day of salvation, that a person sees a sinner, Dr. Belcher, named Zacchaeus, where every sinner has been since the womb of time all the way to the tomb of time, and that is up a tree. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. The man who was up a tree, which is also an idiom for a tremendous or troublesome, challenging, and convicting situation, was the crooked tax collector, head of the tax office at Jericho, and perhaps over a whole district. He is only mentioned one time in all four of the Gospels, and it's in the narrative that is before us. The sister verse of Luke 19:4 is Isaiah 55:6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. One Bible student now in heaven for many years once wrote about our text, it is possible that the Lord heard the name Zacchaeus from the people in the street. He goes on to write, it is also possible that his attention was directed to the tree by the crowds who had watched the tax gatherers climb into the foliage. The sycamore tree is known for its branches which spread out horizontally, starting close to the base of the trunk. And then he ties up his thought, this Bible student, now in heaven, he ties up his thought by simply writing, it was not a difficult tree for any man to climb, but the fact that the hated tax official had done so surely attracted attention. Never forget, while all mankind is up a tree, waiting for all those who will come down that tree, is miraculous forgiveness flowing from Christ's tree, which is Calvary. If you miss everything that I preached this morning, I pray that you would not miss that. And it even bears repeating, while all of mankind is up a tree, waiting for all those who will come down that tree, is miraculous forgiveness flowing from Christ's tree, which is Calvary. Friend, you and I, both the unsaved and the saved, need to know where we may be found when it comes, Dr. Belcher, to what I call tree theology. All of mankind is somewhere on that sycamore tree. Doesn't matter who you are, doesn't matter where you are, every single human being can find themselves somewhere on that sycamore tree, and I basically call it tree theology. Let's quickly notice this morning the three places that people are when it comes to this sycamore tree, or if you will, tree theology. So I can see you're up a tree, all found here in Luke chapter number 19. Number one, the tree climbers. Verse 4, and he ran before and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was to pass that way. A place all of humanity has seen somewhere on that sycamore tree is the tree climbers. In verse 4, the physician Luke tells us that Mr. Zacchaeus wanted to see firsthand deity robed in the garments of flesh and blood so bad that he hurriedly makes his way up a tree trunk. This is a type of false salvation. From the primitive jungle hut all the way to the palatial high-rise apartment on Madison Avenue, lost mankind has tried to get to God by way of his own efforts, enterprises, and expenses. A person must couple with verse 3, verses 4 and 7, because he was little of stature and that he was going to be a guest with a man that is a sinner. No one ever has or ever will measure up to God's holy standard in being able to save themselves. The hymn writer hit the center of the bullseye when he sang, could my tears forever flow? Could my zeal no longer know? Those for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. In my hand no price I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Knock the bark off, doing charitable deeds, lighting candles, praying rosary beads, putting money in offering plates, joining civic clubs, whether it be the Mooses, the Gooses, the Eagles or the Beagles, or returning lost cats to your next door neighbor as a means of getting even one inch closer to God, salvation, or heaven, and you, sir, and you, ma'am, are still desperately lost. Friend, you and I need to know that when it comes to tree theology, we may be tree climbers. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Mark it down, nothing will grease the skids of the sled the sinner is shooting straight to hell on, like their own unscriptural ways of salvation. You see, all of mankind is somewhere on this sycamore tree. Again, I call it tree theology. And where we find many is that they're tree climbers. Dr. Belcher, there was a man walking down a street one day who saw a custodian on the pavement who was washing a large plate glass window. There was one soiled spot which defied all efforts to remove it. After rubbing hard and using much soap and water in failing to remove it, he found out the trouble. It's on the inside, he called out to someone in the store. Many, even sitting in this service this second and watching by way of internet, are there trying to strive in cleansing the soul from its stain. They wash it with the tears of sorrow. They scrub it with the soap of good resolve. They rub it with the chamois of morality. But still, the consciousness of it remains. The trouble is, it's on the inside. Nothing but the blood of Jesus applied by the mighty power of the Holy Ghost can cleanse the inside. The tree climbers. Number two, let me hasten, look at it. In Luke chapter 19, number two, the tree sitters. Verse 5, and when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him. A place all humanity is seeing somewhere on the sycamore tree is the tree sitters. In verse 5, the physician Luke tells us that Mr. Zacchaeus is perched on a limb in such an inquisitive way by the young that it would make any bird of wing pretty jealous. This is a type of faulty security. One Bible student said of this scene in the scriptures, Zacchaeus was upon one of the many branches of the sycamore, and you, my unsaved friend, are upon one of the many branches of the great, mighty, spreading, world-embracing tree of human corruption, and I call upon you in the name of my master to come down. Friend, you and I need to know that when it comes to tree theology, we just may be tree sitters. Now, there are several things that people have false security in. And you could take those things and you could break them down, you can boil them down. And Brother Belcher, they would fall into several categories. The things that people in this hour are placing false security in. And it may shock you, stun you, and even surprise you. But first of all, their reason. Isaiah 55, 9, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. A thing that people have faulty security in is their reason. Well, the whole time you're trying to come up with the reason for your plight, God has provided the redemption for your person. People have false security in their reason. I think about my mentor, Dr. Tom Malone Sr., who said in my hearing once, people don't go to heaven head first, they go to heaven heart first. Their reason. You don't think your way to heaven. You trust Christ and go to heaven. Their reason. Secondly, their riches. Haggai 1:6, ye have sown much and bring in little, ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there's none warm.
And he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. You see, a thing that people today have faulty security in is their riches. They can even line your casket with $100 bills and stuff the pillow for your head with $10,000 bills, and that still wouldn't buy you a half a day vacation from hell. Their riches. Thirdly, their religion. Matthew 7:22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name hath cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. You see, a thing that people today have faulty security in is their religion. Hanging on the cross was not any denomination's church pew. You don't go to heaven because of a religion. You go to heaven because of a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And the worst place in all the world to go to hell from is either a pew or a pulpit. Oh, that every single individual that is in this service and watching online would realize that the things that people have faulty security in is their reason, their riches, and their religion. Dr. Belcher, off the pages of military history comes the sobering story of December 7th, 1941. That is when the Imperial Japanese Navy Air Services launched a surprise attack upon the U.S. Naval Base at Pearl Harbor in Honolulu, Hawaii. An attack on Hawaii, listen, the highest of military experts said was the most unlikely thing in the world, with the chance of 1 in 1,000,000 of being even remotely successful. Beside having more powerful defenses than any other port under the American flag, they thought, listen, it was protected by distance. Oh my, the 2,403 Americans, some of our bravest and best, died in that attack. Breaking news, you trusting the limb that you're on is even far more tragic and terrible than the unknowingly and unsoundly safety of the highest of military minds put upon that military naval base. The trace setters say, well, preacher, I'm all right, I'm in church. Does that mean you're saved? So I'm all right, preacher. I got my mom's Bible in my hand. I got my grandmother's Bible in my hand. That's wonderful. That doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You say, well, preacher, I've been baptized. I don't care if you've been baptized, capsized, or simonized. It doesn't mean you're going to heaven. And so we find tree theology and all of mankind is somewhere on that tree. You got the tree climbers. You got the tree sinners, and then number three and last of all, and man, I've been looking forward to this third point since the Lord laid the message on my heart early this morning. Number three and last of all, the tree descenders. Verse 6, and he made haste and came down and received him joyfully. A place all of humanity is seen somewhere on the sycamore tree is the tree descenders. In verse 6, the physician Luke tells us that somewhere between the top branch and the bottom of the trunk, Mr. Zacchaeus is powerfully saved and becomes Brother Zacchaeus. This is a type of factual salvation. The great evangelist D.L. Moody wrote in the margin of his Bible, next this verse, Jesus and Zacchaeus met at the foot of that tree and they've never parted since. Don't miss this. It was somewhere on a sycamore tree that a man's life was transformed. And it'll be somewhere at salvation's tree that a man, woman, boy, and girl's life will be transformed. But both had to heed Christ's call and come down. How can I put it? If Zacchaeus would have only climbed a tree, he'd be in hell this morning. How can I put it? If Zacchaeus had only stayed on that limb, he'd be in hell this morning. He had to be a tree descender. And so do you. He had to come down that tree. He had to come down that sycamore. And friend, no one ever has and no one ever will be saved unless they come down, which is humility. Dr. Belcher, another songwriter, provided the soundtrack for this scene in Scripture when he there wrote down at the cross where my Savior died down, where for cleansing from sin I cried, there to my heart was the blood applied, glory to his name. This narrative then closes with one of the most powerful and pointed statements concerning the mission and mandate of the lovely Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 19, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, you and I need to know that when it comes to tree theology, we may be tree descenders. The Bible says in James 4:6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Well, this may be the only place, Dr. Belcher, in the Scripture where the sinner looked down and the Savior looked up. That sinner still had to come down, and so do you, to be saved. Tree theology. So I can see you're up a tree. And no one ever has and no one ever will live without being somewhere on that sycamore tree. Tree climbers. Tree sitters. And the Lord being my helper, I want to try to knock you out of that tree. Amen. That you might be a tree descender and make today the day that you trust Christ. Amen. I'm preaching to some in this room right now that you asked a mother, what can I get you for Mother's Day? Can I get you a flower? Can I get you a piece of jewelry? Can I get you a meal? What can I get you, a card? And a mother said to you, what you can get me is come to church. And sit with me in church. That's all I want. And you didn't know it, but it's a divine appointment. You didn't know it, but God in his goodness and grace was going to give you an opportunity that you could miss heaven and go to hell. Miss hell and go to heaven. You didn't know it, but God in his goodness and grace was going to give you a chance that you might get out of that tree that you're in. That you'd be saved. I'm closing with this. When Thru Olsen, the famed Dutch sculptor, had finished molding the plastic clay for a statue, he went home, leaving the clay to dry and harden. But during the night, a dense mist rolled in from the sea. When the sculptor returned to his studio the following morning, Brother Haynes, he thought that his embryonic masterpiece had been ruined. The majestic head of Christus or Christ, which had been gazing heavenward, now face downward, the hands of the clay figure, which had been held aloft as though to bless, were stretched forward in an inviting way, gazing upon the altered statue. Thru Olsen suddenly realized that this was the way the figure ought to be. He exclaimed, if you want to see the face of Christ, of his Christus, you have to there get down to your knees. Sidebar, pride and personal salvation mix about as good as oil and water, and oil and water simply don't mix. The tree descenders. We have seen from this narrative where all of us are this morning. And if you're here and you're not saved, oh, Jesus wants to save you. If you're here this morning and you're lost, Jesus wants to come into your heart. If you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that if you were to die, heaven would be your eternal home, God in his goodness and grace has given you this opportunity that you might trust Christ. So, I can see you're up a tree. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. It's not an accident. It's not a happenstance. It's not a coincidence that you're here this morning. God's given you that opportunity to be saved. God's given you that opportunity to miss hell and go to heaven. I don't know your age, but I promise you, whatever your age is, whatever it is, today someone's name will be an obituary, will be in an obituary column of some world newspaper at your very age. I could take you to a local cemetery this morning, and whatever your age, I can show you a headstone of someone your age. Before today turns into tomorrow, people will step out into eternity your very age. Dr. Belcher, Billy Sunday, used to say in his meetings, it just might be that this year would be etched on your headstone. They tell me that when Mr. Sunday used to say that, even before the invitation, people would run down the aisles to the altar to get saved. God doesn't owe you another day. God doesn't owe you another week. God doesn't owe you another month or another year. In fact, God doesn't owe you another second. And if you're here and you're lost, you need to come out of that tree that you're in and kneel at Christ's tree, Calvary, and be saved. With every head bowed, every eye closed, Christians are praying. I wonder who'd lift their hand and say, "Preacher, I know that if I were to die right now, heaven is my eternal home." You'd lift your hand. I'm saved and sure. I'm saved and sure. If I were to die right now, I know heaven's my eternal home. Main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor. Thank you. May I put them down. You're here this morning, dear one, and you couldn't raise your hand, but you would lift it now and say, "I need to be saved." Right now, you'd lift it. "Preacher, pray for me. I need to trust Christ. I don't want to die and go to hell." "Preacher, please. Main floor, balcony, balcony, main floor. I need to be saved. Pray for me." God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Others, another, need to be saved. Pray for me. You're here this morning, and as a Christian, though I've not said it, it's dawned on your heart that the job of the Christian is to get people out of the tree they're in. That's what the Christian life's all about. It's getting people out of the tree they're in. Flying here yesterday afternoon from Detroit to Baltimore, I watched Mrs. Hamlin give people gospel tracts. If they got anywhere within a reach, she gave them a gospel tract. You know what that is? That's helping people get out of the tree they're in. And that's what we ought to be spending our life doing, helping people get out of the tree they're in. You say, "Dr. Hamlin, this is the Church of the Open Door, man. We have a reputation around the world of being a soul-winning church." I understand that. And God bless that great testimony. But just because you go to a soul-winning church doesn't mean, neighbor, you're a soul winner. And you lift your hand and say, "You're right. I need to be doing that." You're right. I need to be helping people even today, this Mother's Day 2022. I need to help them get out of the tree that they're in. And you lift your hand as a Christian.
God bless you all over, all over, all over, all over, all over, all over, all over. I need to help people get out of the tree they're in. You may be here and need to just forgive me. I don't know how to put it any other way. Old-fashioned, get right with God. You'd lift your hand and say, that's me. Preacher, I need to get right. God bless you there, sir. God bless you over there, sir. I just need to get right with God. Would there be another? God bless you there and there. And God bless you there. Wonderful. Thank God, Dr. Belcher, for honest people. I need to get right with God. Maybe you're here and need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Or maybe you're here and need to unite with the church, the open door. I promise you that if the Hamlin family lived within driving distance of the church, the open door, we'd be members of this church. Dr. Belcher would be our pastor. Now, if I can give this place that kind of recommendation, certainly you could consider what the Holy Spirit has been saying to you for months about becoming a member, about becoming a member of this faith family. And you'd lift your hand and say, that's me. That's me. God bless you over there. That's me. I need to join the church. That's me. Today would be a great day to do that. We stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Heavenly Father, thank you for the kind attention of these, my brothers and sisters. And Lord, I pray that not one in any way would grieve, resist, or quench the Holy Ghost. May this be a time of great and glorious victory. In Jesus' name.